Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. Our number two, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Joy and I were just talking about this a second ago, about that situation where the Philadelphia Eagle fans fell off the railing, over the railing, and they were just leaning over and over and over. It's such a preventable issue. Smart people generally figure stuff out proactively, not reacting. Like, it's outrageous that pre-9/11, you could bring anything on a plane. I mean, you could bring knives on a plane, box cutters. It's like, duh. I mean, like, you're just like, the stuff we do now and don't allow is obvious. I've said this once before on this show years ago, and I'll say it again. I think the proximity fans have to players is too close.
Yeah.
I would never, ever allow that first row where they can reach over and touch a player. I would just put, you know, some barrier up. We're in a pandemic, by the way. I don't want fans breathing and touching players, but some fan will do something outrageous. I mean, I've had multiple players tell me people hurl racial slurs at players. So there's animosity and there's anger, especially for road players. But if you can reach out and come close to touching a player, then your stadium should figure out you're too close. And so when I watched that, years and years ago, there was a horrible incident at the University of Wisconsin where their stadium collapsed and killed some kids. It was brutal. Just a gutting moment. And nobody got hurt with this, but
I mean, but just
why do
like,
you why do
luckily,
you
luckily yeah. I mean, forget that they almost hit Jalen Hurts. None of the fans got hurt, which is miraculous. Like, everyone just popped up. Like, they fell really hard.
Oh, could
How anyone could have twisted their ankle or busted their face
open. What happens if that steel railing, you fall over and the railing comes on, bangs you in the head? It's lights out.
It's really, I mean, we're all kind of joking about the video, but like, the more I watch it, I'm like,
oh, it's horrifying. It is. And
that could have gone much worse.
By the way, people are not only up the sides, which generally, as the stadium goes up, Those people fell 5 feet, and right. then it goes 8, 12, 20, and then there's people at the top over. We're going to have a tragedy at one of these games from a fan, and we're going to go, God, that's it. And then everybody will react to it instead of being proactive. It's just get fans away from players. Just you have a right to go to games.
It's safer for everybody. It's not just for the players. Like, it's safer for the fans, too. Like, those fans could have gotten really hurt.
Yeah. All right. It's called the Hurt Hierarchy. It's close. I mean, there's a lot of good teams. Is there a great team? I'm not sure, but here we go.
Hurt Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
They have the number one total offense and the number two scoring offense since week 11 as this young coaching staff figures out Justin Herbert. They're hyper-aggressive. Herbert's the highest-graded quarterback on third down in the entire league. That includes Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. They are a big play offense that can't stop anybody, so I think there are limitations to what they can do in the playoffs. But receivers, excellent backs, O-line upgraded, star quarterback, productive tight ends. This is a team that can win trailing by 3 touchdowns entering the second half, and they can come and win. They score big. They score fast. They just can't stop teams, so I'd put them at 10.
Number 9.
The Patriots, who have a great defense, but opposite of the Chargers, they fall behind. They're not winning the game. They just don't fall behind much. Listen, Mac Jones has been terrific. 9 games completing 70% of his passes or more. We knew he was accurate. But if it's not on script, you don't get anything here. They are 7-0 against teams with a losing record. They are 3-6 against teams 500 or better. So they meet their match physically, and they don't have the personnel to overcome a Kansas City, that level of a team, a Green Bay, an Arizona. I just don't think they're built for long-term success right now in the playoffs.
Number 8.
Arizona. The thing that impresses me about Arizona, and I said this a couple weeks ago, I don't think it's a Kyler Murray issue. They don't have James Conner, Rondale Moore, and DeAndre Hopkins. Now, they won at Dallas despite that. But those are 3 hugely important players, and they're all banged up. So I don't think there's anything for Arizona to necessarily solve. I think they just have to get healthy. And as we talked about last year, Tampa Bay got healthy at the end of the year, and the Packers didn't. This team was healthy until about week 12. They fell apart, and you're seeing the offense isn't as robust. But I will say this, they are 8-1 on the road this year. That's pretty impressive. Like, they are a very good road team. That'll matter in the playoffs.
Number 7.
My Shawshank Redemption, the Mike Tyson of the NFL, the Buffalo Bills. I know they're too reliant on Josh Allen. I know they don't run the ball enough, but Josh Allen's a freak. And defensively, oh, by the way, opposing quarterbacks have the lowest passer rating in the league against Buffalo's defense. They have a great defensive coach. They have an excellent pass rush. Their defense allows the fewest yards per play in the league. So they're going to be in games because it's hard to run away from them. They can be a little mistake prone, can't run it, but man, do they have a knockout punch. Buffalo at 7.
Number 6.
I'll say Buffalo at 6 because their offense has been more consistent. They can run it, they can throw it, and Joe Burrow's getting better every week. Listen, the offense has 21 big plays, and those are considered by the NFL big plays. 21. Nobody in the NFL has more than 15. So they're like the Chargers, who beat them, by the way, but they're the Chargers, but I think a little more consistent and on hyperspeed. They are a big play offense. Burrow can make mistakes. He's not a dink and dunk guy. Like, he'll throw it down the field. They've got great receivers. I still contend they are a rebuilding roster. That's why I would consider Zach Taylor Coach of the Year and Joe Burrow MVP. I think this is, of my top 10 here, there's an argument to be made. It's the weakest overall roster, but I put him at 6.
Number 5.
The Rams, 5-0 in December. There's 2 stats that jump out. Offense leads the NFL in yards per play. They are a big play offense. Secondly, Matt Stafford leads the NFL second half passer rating. So this is a team that's good when it counts. Good in the fourth quarter. Good late in games. Odell Beckham's moved in. That works now. The defense leads the NFL in sacks. So what happens is Matt Stafford can struggle, but he's usually comfortable in the second half with time to throw, good runners, and good receivers. and your quarterback is uncomfortable in the second half, and that's what they are. They're a flawed team with a massive ceiling. A little like the opposite of New England, where New England doesn't make any mistakes but has a low ceiling. Rams make all sorts of them, but they're on their best quarter in their second halves. They're as good as any team in the league. I think they're a dark horse Super Bowl team.
Number four.
The Titans. How are they here? I mean, seriously, the soul of their team is running. Derrick Henry's gone. Tannehill's okay. He's probably C+, B-. They're really well coached. What I like about him is when they've played the best games of the year, it's been against the best teams. You know, New England's beaten the bad teams. Dallas beats the bad teams. Tennessee is 6-2 against teams with winning records. I've seen them push the Rams around in L.A. So this team, I want no part of if Derrick Henry comes back. I would want no part to play him. Well-coached, tough. A.J. Brown's become a star wide receiver over the top.
Number three.
Tampa Bay, number one offense. They lead the NFL in sack differential. What does that mean? Their quarterback's clean and your quarterback's in trouble. This goes back to a theory I have about the NFL that's fairly simple. If I, over the course of a game, have a more comfortable quarterback, I win the game. That's what Tampa does. Tommy's comfortable, doesn't get hit, and your quarterback's under duress. You win a lot of games like that. They haven't looked good about six times this year, but even in some of those games, like this past weekend, they kind of find a way to win. They are a little beat up right now, and that would concern me.
Number two.
Kansas City. Now, I know Cincinnati beat Kansas City, but Kansas City jumped to a big lead, and the game is in Cincinnati, and I think on a neutral field or in Kansas City, the Chiefs win. Kansas City's good. Here's my big concern. I still don't think Patrick Mahomes and the offense is right. Huge first half, nothing in the second half. They did snap a 25-game winning streak in November and December and January, so they're fine. Don't worry about them. They've got their playmakers. They're getting healthier. A little beat up on the O-line right now. I don't worry about them, but I still think the offense is not right. Like, there are things about Cincinnati that are not right. The offense is fine. This is not, maybe it's mechanics, Mahomes, whatever it is, I still think they're going to have to figure something out offensively to win a Super Bowl. They just have too many bad quarters offensively.
Number one.
Green Bay. Home field, have a bye, have an MVP at quarterback, and a very competent defense. My big concern is you can run the football on this team, and whereas they were physical early in the year, they've gotten pretty at the end of the year. They've gone back to being kind of the Green Bay we know with a great quarterback, play great with a lead, but you can push them around a little bit. That would worry me. But they're 12-4 against the spread this year, which matters, because what that's telling you is we know they're good. They're probably better than we think. That's what Dallas was early in the year. Better than we thought. Better than betters thought. What that tells you is we know they're good. They're probably a little better than we think. I do worry that they don't have the knockout punch. They've played. They did this weekend. But by and large, they let bad teams kind of hang around. And that, you got to be very careful with that, because that's how you lose playoff games. But I would say in a league where there's no great team, there's some really good ones, I would pick Green Bay number one. There you go. Health. Whenever you have a league which has a very small bottom and a very small top, that's the current NFL. You go from about team 4 to a team 24, who's healthier? I mean, there's a lot of that in the NFL right now. You got, let's say, start 4 to 20. Most of these playoff teams, I mean, I'll give you a great example. Green Bay is the number one team in the NFC. They'll get a bye. But if they played Philadelphia, the last team in, like, they're not going to because they get a bye and Philly has to play. But you'd be like, oh, that's a bad matchup for Green Bay. I mean, Philadelphia is what? 15th best team in the league? 14th? Run the heck out of the ball. Green Bay struggles against the run. Like, you could see that game. Philadelphia gets a lead. Everybody gets a little tight in Green Bay. They can't get Jalen Hurts off the field. They're running for 5 yards a carry like Cleveland did, 6 yards a carry, 7 yards a carry, and Aaron Rodgers is looking at the clock and, okay, we're in the third quarter and at 17-14 we trail and Jalen Hurts is on the field. Like, that's the league right now. It's a lot. We're going to have upsets in the playoffs, and they're not going to really be upsets. Philadelphia's going to beat somebody and you're going to be like, yeah, of course they did. I mean, when Green Bay would go in with house money, they'd probably go in as a 9-point favorite over Philadelphia. I would take Philadelphia and the points all day. Now, Green Bay may win it, but I think we're going to have I mean, Tennessee and Tennessee with Derrick Henry and Philadelphia with that run offense, that's how you beat a great quarterback. He watches the game. That Derrick Henry with a 13-play drive. Like last night, the Cleveland Browns had a drive. It was like 14, 15 plays. Why? Nick Chubb. Like that's how you beat great quarterbacks is they watch the game. They don't play. All right. Is Dak in a slump or just average? That's next. It's The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net, with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Sunday, it's the season finale of the NFL regular season on Fox. A big doubleheader starts with the Packers taking on the Lions or other regional action. Then in America's Game of the Week, the 49ers try to win their way into the playoffs against the Rams team looking to clinch the NFC West title. Check local listings for the games in your area only on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Want your home to feel safer? Go to SimpliSafe, 20% off. SimpliSafeColin.com, SimpliSafeColin.com. So it's interesting. A lot of people are saying, hey, Dak Prescott, he's in a slump. And the quarterback slump. Now, quarterbacks can have bad years. Peyton Manning year four. Sometimes a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl loses a left tackle and a right tackle. There are times that quarterbacks, like right now, Kyler Murray, is he in a slump? I don't think Kyler Murray's in a slump. I think Kyler Murray misses DeAndre Hopkins and Rondell Moore and James Conner. I don't think he's in a slump. But there's this thing now, you know, Dak is really in a slump. So it's not fair to just – quarterbacks do have off years because maybe they're beat up or they lose a left tackle or there's a coaching change, a coordinator change, and they're not quite, you know, up with it. I mean, clearly Aaron Rodgers in year two with Matt LaFleur was better than in year one with Matt LaFleur. Like, there's that stuff. But let's take 4 years with Dak Prescott. Is he just Kirk Cousins with more fans and fewer haters? So here's the last 4 years of Dak Prescott. Against the NFC East, he's 16-2, the worst division easily in the league. He's 14-20 against everybody else. Against the NFC East, he's a Pro Bowler. He's got a 109 quarterback rating. Against everybody else, he's got a 94. He's a guy. He's not terrible. He's a BB plus guy. The last four seasons against teams with winning records, he's 8-17. That's just 500 or better. Against teams that are 500 or worse, he crushes. And the TD interception ratio is insane against bad teams. So my takeaway is Kirk Cousins in a slump? Or does he occasionally have really good Sundays, but against good teams, Kirk Cousins is kind of what he is? That's kind of where I am with Dak. Kirk Cousins, to me, is a B2B plus guy. Dak's a B2B plus guy. This idea there's a big slump. Again, quarterback's going to get hurt. Baker Mayfield today is better than what he's playing like. He's banged up. I still don't think he was great or even very good. But I'll give quarterbacks passes for a year, but I have 4 years of data. That's what Dak is. And by the way, that's with good weapons. That's with competent tight ends, star receivers, the number one rated offensive line for some of those years. In fact, I still think the Cowboys' O-line is highly rated, better than average running backs. You know, now they've got a good defense, didn't before. So if you look at 4 years of data, is it a slump? Or he's just not a guy that can carry a team against good teams. I think the answer is he's very much Kirk Cousins. He's just, I think we like him more than Kirk Cousins. The Cowboys are a bigger brand. Dak's got kind of just a likable quality about him. Very good intangibles. And the slump thing, I'm like, no. I mean, Dak has had some good Sundays, but I think overall, when you watch him, he's a good athlete, but he's not Kyler. He's not Josh Allen. He's got a decent arm, but it's not like Herbert. It's not like Mahomes. And he's a B-plus quarterback, which, by the way, that's good. There's like 7 A's in the planet. And then there's like 7 B-pluses. It gets bad after that. So it's like not a bad place to be, and he's going to have a great life. But I keep hearing all this slump stuff. And I'm like, so I went this morning, I just went and let's go digging. Let's go. Is it a slump or is it kind of Kirk Cousins? I think it's the latter. That's what I see. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Antonio Brown stripped off his uniform and left midway through the game against the Jets on Sunday. We've all seen the video and the photos, yeah. And there's a lot of conversation about what actually happened leading up to that moment. According to Ian Rappaport, Brown and the coaching staff had a disagreement during the game about whether he was healthy enough to play. He said AB did not believe he was healthy. He told the staff that he was not going into the game because in his mind, he did not feel he was healthy. The response from the offensive coaches and from Bruce Arians was, if you're not going to go into the game, when we tell you to go in the game, you can't be here. At that point, they threw him off the sideline and then cut him from the team. Arians refuted this and said that Brown never told him that he was injured. With most stories, there's two sides and there's the middle. Yeah. And the middle is the truth. But in this situation, well, I shouldn't say but in this situation, we have characters that we have a lot of history and information about in Bruce Arians and Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
So your judgment of whatever happened or whatever the conversation was can be what you feel like it is, because we may never get the actual truth of what happened here. What we do know is that Mike Evans was standing there talking to Antonio Brown, clearly urging him not to do whatever it was he was planning on doing, and then abandoned it because it was clear that reason was not being heard. And then we proceeded to see this. What I'm trying to figure out in this situation is what could possibly be an acceptable trigger for Antonio Brown to behave this way.
There is none.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. If Bruce Arians said you can't be here if you don't go in the game, did he mean take off all your clothes and run around in the middle of the field during the game? What reasonable person is having that conversation also, with a straight face?
Resumes matter.
Yes.
Antonio Brown has treated people like dirt for women, men. Go look at his Wikipedia page. Resumes matter. If Larry Fitzgerald did this, right. I'd be like, let me get to the bottom of this.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I don't need to get to the bottom of any of this. It's Antonio Brown. I was not shocked when I saw it.
Yeah.
I was not surprised when I saw the aftermath of it. And I'm not surprised now. It's Antonio Brown. That is an excellent point, Colin. If Larry Fitzgerald did this, I would be not only shocked, I would be concerned, and I would believe that something was said to him that was so outrageous that this behavior was warranted.
Yeah, if Calvin Johnson or Larry Fitzgerald or Cooper Kupp did this, you'd be like, whoa, that's way out of character. Like, what was said? I got 6 years of him treating everybody terribly. Men, women, delivery drivers, stiffing people, robbing people. I mean, it's like I have a resume. He doesn't treat people right.
And two things can be true. He can not treat people right and also need help.
I'm not a mental health specialist.
Everything doesn't have to be polarizing. And yes, none of us are mental health specialists. And more importantly, none of us are Antonio Brown's mental health specialists. He has had opportunity to get help. It's not like this is somebody who doesn't have access or means or hasn't been in organizations that are wildly supportive of their stars. He was living in Tom Brady's house. You don't think he had access to help? You have to get the help yourself. Unless you believe that Antonio Brown is beyond reason of any accounts.
Well, there's an ego component here. You have to have such an enormous ego to believe you're above other people, that you would treat Tom Brady like this, that you would treat Mike Evans like this, that you would treat the Raiders like that, the Patriots like that. Your ego, you have to be so distorted on your value to the world that you could ever, I mean, we all have egos, but like at some point, when you start treating people poorly, how you view them is you are above people.
There's no victim in this situation.
Yeah.
So the outrage is very confusing to me. Who is the victim here? It's Antonio Brown, who's on his like 15th chance.
Yeah.
It's not Bruce Arians, because Bruce Arians clearly invited this by allowing him back on the team after he was suspended for a fake vaccination card. Tom Brady knew what he was getting into before he brought Antonio Brown in. It's just not a workable situation. Now, as far as if he's going to get another opportunity in the league, he very well might, because at the end of the day, talent trumps anything, and people clearly don't have a problem giving him opportunities.
Yeah.
It's not going to bother me. He's not working for me. I'm not his teammate. But let's not act like we're surprised that this is the outcome. And there's nothing in my mind that could be, I won't say nothing. I won't be hyperbolic here or absolutist.
Yeah.
But what could have been said by Bruce Arians on that sideline, knowing Bruce Arians' character, knowing Tom Brady's character, knowing Mike Evans' character, who was sitting there trying to reason with him, that would prompt that behavior that would be acceptable to you?
Well, I came up with a rule years ago at the other place. My rule is, I will not babysit other adults. That was my rule. So when I started The Volume, right?
Yeah.
There were a couple people that, we'd sit down as a staff and should we hire them? And I'm like, oh, no, I got to babysit that person. I don't babysit. Like, when you bring Antonio Brown in, this is what the Cowboys did with Dez Bryant. Remember, they had to have special security. Like, I'm not babysitting guys. Now, kids, I'm not. So I would always be. So I think we've talked about this. I'm not dealing with people that can't manage themselves. I refuse, if I was building a team, a company, a business, I'm just not going to do it. I'll take somebody slightly less talented that can handle day-to-day work crises.
Well, that's what Bruce Arians told us was going to happen.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not judging Bruce Arians for keeping Antonio Brown. He's trying to win football games and they needed him.
Right.
But let's not act like any of this is surprising. Apparently, the league, there's no consideration, according to the Washington Post, for league-imposed discipline for him. I don't know what there would be.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a situation where he'd need to be have any kind of repercussions for this from the league. If he's going to be released, they have to go through the steps, obviously, to release him. He'd be subject to waivers. If he clears waivers, he can sign with any team. The Chiefs, Packers, and Rams are reportedly the teams to watch to sign him. I don't anticipate that anyone's going to take this in at this point in the season, especially teams like that. But stranger things have happened. So the Jets ran a quarterback sneak late in the game against the Bucs, and some people have been trying to blame Zach Wilson for saying he was trying to play hero. But Robert Saleh said Wilson is not at fault for the lack of communication and play calling.
He's a rookie. His head's barely above water with regards to the scheme. He's still in the pleasing mode of his career in terms of just doing things the way it's drawn up. If you're talking year three, year four, and he does something like that, then I guess you can start maybe. But as a rookie who's still trying to figure this league out, try to figure out what he can and can't get away with and how to take control over things and all that, like, he's nowhere close to that in terms of a selfish player. He wants to get better. He'll learn from this.
I actually like that Robert Saleh is defending him in this spot.
Well, Zach has talent. I've never said he's a selfish human. I think sometimes
he likes to show off a little bit.
Yeah, there's the old talk. He's a hot dog. He can be a little bit of a show off when he plays. That doesn't mean he's a bad person. Like, he's talented. A little small for me, but, you know, I said Johnny Manziel had talent. Zach's got way more talent. They both have sometimes a little hero ball. Like, it's a little backyard for me, and I think you have to play with more urgency. But I did think there were moments this year when you see the special with him.
Well, yeah, and that's when I look at the Jets season, they're 4-12, they're last in the AFC East. It's pretty predictable that's the season that they had.
That's exactly on this show. We predicted they would be, I could be wrong, 4-12.
Right. And I don't feel like the Jets are dysfunctional. They're just not a good team. So yeah. I'm gonna give Robert Saleh in his first year a pass, right?
Like, yeah.
Okay, it was a struggle year. We get it. You've got a rookie quarterback. They weren't a good roster. They were struggling. That's why he's there. Next year, a little bit of growth. Like, we didn't panic after Zach Taylor's first year.
Yeah.
Look where they are. So, yes, are they struggling? Does Zach Wilson need to grow a lot? Sure.
Yeah.
But I like that he defended his rookie quarterback in that spot. They play the Bills on Sunday and are 17-point underdogs, according to Fox Bet.
Right.
So last night, Ben Roethlisberger played with it's thought to be his final game in Pittsburgh, and following the win, he talked about how much the support of the city has meant to him.
I was born in Ohio, but I live here, and I'll always be here. And these fans in this place, it means so much to me and my family, and always will. And I've always said that they're the best fans in all the sports, and I'll stick by that to the day I die. And to see all the signs and the jerseys and the towels and to hear them cheer for me coming out of the tunnel, all that stuff. It just, I don't know that I'll ever put it into words, and that's why I want to soak it. I wish I could bottle it and have it forever. But I will in here and in my mind.
Last night was a nice night. I think.
Oh, I thought it was great.
You know, sometimes sports gives us these little moments.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it wasn't the best season. It was clunky.
Right.
We had our moments where we were frustrated. But 18 seasons he's been with the Steelers. It's a legendary franchise, as he mentioned. Incredible fans, an international brand. And he had a wildly successful career with the Steelers. It's very
yes.
hard to win championships. There's definitely moments where I felt like they underachieved as a whole
yeah.
based off the talent that they had. But he's 13-9 in the postseason, 2 Super Bowl wins, 3 Super Bowl appearances. He's tied for 7th in playoff wins. He made the Pro Bowl 6 times. He's a Hall of Famer, obviously.
Yeah.
But to me, Ben Roethlisberger, when I'm watching the game last night, and obviously I'm born and raised in Pittsburgh, lived there until I was 18 years old. He feels like the last old school quarterback.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He does.
Right? Like, he's
doesn't commit in the offseason quite like other guys
did. But like, I don't really necessarily blame him for that. Like, what Tom Brady is doing and what, you know, Russell Wilson is doing and what LeBron is doing is kind of new, right? Like, he's that Pittsburgh guy, like that blue collar guy. He felt like Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And maybe the league has moved away from what he is.
Yeah.
But for the time he was there and in the city, he fit that franchise. Now, where they go in the future, I think, might be telling.
Yeah.
But that, to me, I'm watching that last night. Like, he's the last of this brand of quarterback.
Yeah.
And it fit, and it made sense, and he had a legendary career.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Well, Brian Billick certainly faced him. 9 years in Baltimore in that division, faced him twice a year. He is joining us live, the Super Bowl champ. First Super Bowl in Ravens history. So go back to Ben in his prime. First yeah. couple times you faced him. I remember Eric Allen, the corner, telling me the single hand pump fake. He goes, I've never seen anybody do that. He goes, I bit on that thing about 3 times. And I was like, all right, don't do that. So go back to Ben at his best in his prime. How did you game plan for him?
Well, I'll go back even further. I remember when he first showed up, Tommy Maddox was the starting quarterback his rookie year. And they played us and we knocked Tommy Maddox out. And Ben goes in, and it's not like he had this spectacular rookie year, but right away you could see it wasn't too big for him. I always told my guys that if we'd have known this was going to be the outcome, we'd have not touched Tommy Maddox. We'd have made a no-touch rule on him. The thing I love about Ben is that I don't know that we've ever seen a quarterback do more in a game or a season with fewer throws. He's only thrown the ball 600-plus times in his career in a season 3 times, compared to the Bradys and the Breezes and the Rodgers and that type, where they're throwing it all over the field. you know, his typical box score would be, you know, 21 of 29 for 450 yards and four touchdowns,
yeah.
You know, that type of thing. And he, the thing I love most about, and he's a drama queen, there's no question about
right.
it. I used to love where he'd drag himself on the field just carrying an arm, like, oh, my God, I don't know if I could do this, and then drop back and launch a 75-yarder for, you know. He's a spectacular player. It was great to compete against him.
You know, Joy just said this. He does feel like the last of the old school guys. Yeah. Now, you know, he's not doing yoga in the summer. He's with his kids. He's camping. He does feel like that, doesn't he?
He does, and it fits because it's Pittsburgh. And compared to, you know, you don't ever see him in ads. You know, he's not
right.
all that. It's just, you know, there's football, and then there's the off season, and it is old school, and I agree. I don't know that we'll see the likes of him again. His ability to – the hardest thing about playing Ben was you had to coach your defensive lineman. Don't get frustrated because not you know, one guy is not going to bring him down.
Right.
You'd get a wrap, and he'd shrug a shoulder and do this and do that pump fake you talked about and extend a play in a way that I don't know that we've ever seen that before.
Now, I want to ask you about Baltimore because there's been a lot of quarterbacks hurt, and this year it's a lot of guys that run around. The Jalen Hurts moves a little bit, Kyler moves a little bit, some are a little undersized. So Lamar's been dinged up, and, I mean, it's part of his soul, who he is his twitchiness and his ability to escape. And then they bring a backup in, Tyler Huntley, and you're like, that's pretty interesting. Do you think they're concerned – and this is about what happens with quarterbacks that move a lot. First 3 or 4 years, it's all fine. And then they just, Michael Vick once said, then you get hit in the ribs again and again, and you start realizing this is no fun, and I can't keep playing like this. Do you think in-house there's concern about Lamar's health going forward because of his style?
I think in the back of their mind, because one of the things you give Cravens credit for is they were all in. When he was carrying the ball 160, 170 times on the year, they were fine. I know that defies NFL logic, but this guy's special. This is the way he operates, and we're going to ride that horse. But in the back of your mind, you're going, okay, well, it's not a problem till it's a problem. And you're right now with the ankle injury. He's, you know, the injuries up to this point. Now that tends to linger a little bit. And will these things continue to show up? You don't know. You hope not. But even though they are all in on, no, we're not going to dial back on what Lamar does, and this is what he does, and I'm sure going into next year, John Harbaugh will say, no, if he runs it 160 times, that's fine because it means we're doing well. But at some point, you're right, with each year, it becomes tougher and tougher to imagine him holding on and staying healthy for an entire season if he's going to carry the ball 140, 150, 160 times.
So what do you do if you're Dallas? Do you play starters? What do you do if you're Green Bay and have a bye? Belichick used to play him. I think Tony Dungy would prefer not to play him. I don't think there's a right. But I'll tell you this, Brian, I wouldn't like to take 3 weeks off of radio. I'd like get out of a rhythm, right? What would you do?
And that is the concern when you go into that last game, particularly after the bye, because you're exactly right. And it's not a matter of a player just not playing on Sunday. If he's not playing on Sunday, where's his focus that week before? What are his reps? So that means he has that week off, the bye week, and now the week getting ready for an appointment. You're right. That is a long time. There is no one right way, because whatever you do, if you play him and they get hurt, you're an idiot. If you don't play him and you're a little rusty and you don't play when you come back, well, you're an idiot. I mean, it's there's no right way other than whatever you do. If it works, you're in good shape. Dallas, I don't think Dallas doesn't have the right to take the game off yet.
Yeah,
they're still having to show who we are. Got to get into a rhythm. I mean, Green Bay, you know, when you talk about Drew Brees doing it all the time and Peyton Manning, they had earned that right to say, okay, yeah, I can take that week off. I can show we can continue this. Dallas is not there yet, so I'd be surprised if they don't continue to play through it.
Listen, I saw another story from, and there's these reporters, and I trust them because these are veteran NFL reporters, that Pete and Russ, it's just there's a fissure here, and Russ doesn't want to be around it, and Pete's 70 and stuck in his ways and a defensive guy, and that division's all McVay, Shanahan, Kingsbury. Right now, in fact, Brian, every playoff team in the NFC has an offensive coach. That's where the league's moving. And so I look at it, is there, if you're coaching Russ and you're like, there's not a lot of Russ on the market, but he wants out. You know, one of the things that we were talking about this morning, I'm like, I wonder if I'd go to the Saints, get as much as I could, trade Bobby Wagner. They need draft picks. And then I went and got a Tyler Huntley, somebody who's kind of a little bit like Russ, Let's see him play for a year. It's okay. Belichick took a step back for a year. Sean Payton's taken a step back. But if you had to move him, what is equal value?
Oh, boy. For Russell Wilson, I can't imagine. It would set a new bar because he's a spectacular talent. You can see there is no team, and this sounds a little silly because every team is dependent on its quarterback, but no team is more dependent on its success than Seattle is with Russell Wilson, taking nothing away from Pete Carroll and the organization and the Legion of Boom Doom and all that when they had it going. There is no team that has had the success do more to its the singular position at quarterback than any in the league. And that's saying a lot. So I don't know what that value is and where it's going to go. You know, the question for me was Belichick really at what's Belichick, 69?
Yeah.
Does he really want to sign on to kind of a rebuild? Well, he did. And it was a very short rebuild. Pete Carroll, 70 years old. Do you want to sign on for a rebuild? Because it's not going to happen in just 1 year. Like you say, get the draft choices, build some things. But, you know, what's the time frame on that when you're 70 years old? So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with these two. Will they be back together? I don't know. Sounds a little prohibitive. Will one or the other? Yeah, sure, likely.
By the way, X-Tech, you see his jacket. He's an investor, an ambassador. Number one pads in the NFL. I think you're also the number one shoulder pads in college football right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Top programs, Oklahoma, Oregon, Iowa, and in the pro, you know, Josh Allen, Cooper Kupp, Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams. And the great thing is now we're finding our way into the top high schools as well. It's fun to watch how parents are now vesting themselves and protecting their young people.
Great stuff, Brian. Great talking to you. Happy holidays to you and your fam.
Sounds great.
X-Tech, good stuff. I really do believe if you're Seattle and you were forced to do it, I'm not kidding you. I would trade Bobby Wagner and get draft picks. Seattle didn't have any draft picks. I'd get a good draft pick for Bobby Wagner. It'd give me some cap space. Remember, if Bobby Wagner goes, cap space. If Russell goes, cap space. If you can get draft picks, if I go to the Saints and say, give me Marcus Lattimore and 3 1s and a 2. So I solved my cornerback issue. I got an elite corner. I now have a ton of cap space, and I have draft picks. I'm not so sure Tyler Huntley for a year. He's got a little bit of Russell stuff going on. And by the way, Baltimore probably would want to secure him, but I think his contract's coming up. It's a matching offer situation. But, I mean, there's a way around to do it. You may not have a solution in year one, but Seattle's got a cap issue, a roster issue, a coaching head coach quarterback fissure. I think you can solve the roster really fast because if you move Bobby and Russ, I mean, you have a ton of money and you give me, so I wouldn't, as a GM once told me, don't give me just draft picks. I don't want a bunch of 19, 20 year old guys. Give me a player. So Seattle doesn't need 5 draft picks. I would go to the Saints, for instance, and say, I want an all pro and draft picks. I've heard this before. When you trade a great player, everybody thinks, oh, I get all these draft picks. Draft picks are like a 60-40 proposition. You got to give me some certainty. So give me an elite corner. Okay, Seattle now has enough corners. They've solved a huge issue. Now I can go buy an elite center, or it's a good draft for center. I get a first-round pick. I take a center. Seattle's going to be near the top of the draft because it's bad. So I can get Iowa center. They have a great left tackle. They've got a good left guard. He was a right guard. He's a left guard. Now I've solved the O-line. I've solved corner. We're not going to be as good at quarterback as I want to be. But you have like 3 issues. You have a quarterback and coach issue. You have a roster issue. You have a salary cap. You're paying too many guys huge money, so you're thin. I don't know. It's just something to think about. I wouldn't want to trade Russell Wilson either. But you have so many issues now. You have no draft picks. You have no cap space. What are you going to do? All right, it's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net, with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Faherty is founded by twin brothers. Family business is to make the best looking clothes, backed by a lifetime guarantee of quality. Go to FahertyBrand.com/herd, code herd 20, 20% off. So if you look at the playoff picture right now in the NFL, the Chargers-Raider game is like that's the one you start looking at. That winner gets in. There is a possibility both get in if the Jags beat the Colts, doubtful. But the Chargers and Raiders are both – they'll battle for the playoff spot. Listen, let's be honest about this. The Chargers are a better playoff team. They have a better quarterback, and I like Derek Carr, but they have a more spectacular talent at quarterback. They have better weapons that are healthier. They have a legit, real head coach, less chaos. They match up well with everybody. Chargers could beat everybody in this league, including the Packers. They could beat anybody in this league. They've already beaten the Chargers. They've already beaten the Chiefs once, and they could have beaten them a second time. Okay, so they match up with everybody. Raiders don't match up against Kansas City, who they'd play if they got in. They got torched twice already. They're all beat up. They have an interim coach. Their weapons, many of them are hurt. I mean, Hunter Renfrow is like it at wide receiver. Don't confuse a great story. The Raiders are a great story this year in terms of what they've been able to do to save the season. They're the Cincinnati Bearcats of the college football season. It's a great story. Don't confuse the Bearcats as a great team. They couldn't move the ball with an NFL quarterback. They couldn't move the ball against Alabama. The media confuses great stories. Russell Westbrook triple-double is a great story. He's not a winning player. Like, I get people when KD bailed on him. It's a great story. He's not the most valuable player. He's never been the most valuable player on his own team. And so the Chargers would be a better playoff team. They're healthier. They've got a legit coach. They've got better weapons. They can win a shootout against anybody. And they match up against everybody. So, I mean, yesterday we had TJ Hushmanzada on, and he's with me. Like, I don't even know how the Raiders are here.
I am surprised. Very surprising. You got to give Carr a lot of credit, man. What he's done with this team, considering what they've been through, you lose your head coach, a teammate has the incident that he has that's unfortunate, and for them to be one game out of the playoffs, I don't understand how they're here. But when you look at it, you got to give Carr all the credit in the world, man. He's rallied this team. He's put them on his back, and they're one game away.
We've been talking about this for years. Aggressive wins in sports. A great example of this is my all LA segment, is the Rams. Sunday was an absolute validation of what the Rams have done. Stafford was perfect in the second half. Von Miller had a key sack. OBJ had two massive catches. And Sony Michel, who they gave up a couple of running backs for, right? That was a big swing, has become a workhorse, and Cam Akers is back. All their best players were huge down the stretch in the second half. Sony Michel, guys they took big swings on. Von Miller gave up two draft picks. Sony Michel, draft picks. OBJ, a lot of doubters. And it's what I've said. When you got the right coach, he creates the right culture, and you can take big swings on big personalities. The Browns don't have the right culture. OBJ never fit. Rams have a strong coach, a strong culture built over time, 4, 5, 6 years. OBJ fits. But the people being eliminated from the playoffs this weekend had good players and solid quarterbacks. The Rams are now as gifted, as talented in key units as everybody. And they didn't draft Jalen Ramsey or Von Miller or Matt Stafford or Sony Michel, but it validated. Swing big, you get rewarded. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dakovis store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Dakovis.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at ReserveBar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at ReserveBar.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.